Welcome to the Florida Divorce Podcast, your source for the information you need to successfully get through your divorce and into the next exciting chapter of life. Now, here's your host, attorney Scott Kalish.
Hey everybody, this is attorney Scott Kalish. I am a divorce and family law attorney here in South Florida. Today I want to talk to you about something a little bit technical, a little bit different, but I think it's a question and an issue that can come up in a lot of cases. And I think that if you are seeing a therapist or a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a counselor, a mental health professional, that you might have this question, right? Or if your spouse is seeing, a mental health professional, that you might be thinking about this issue, right? And the issue is whether or not your spouse or you can obtain records from, the other spouse, from medical records, right? Psychology records, therapist records, notes, those types of things from the other person. This is an issue that comes up from time to time, and it's actually an issue that I'm dealing with now in one of my cases. So I thought that it would be a great opportunity to record a podcast about this issue, right? And, I imagine if you're seeing, a therapist or a counselor, you're probably worried or concerned, or maybe it's crossed your mind that, hey, if I start a divorce or another type of family law case, can my husband or can, the other party in the case, can they subpoena my therapist's records, right? And see what I've been, discussing and see what my, let's say, psychologist thinks of my mental health, right? And the answer to that is a little bit complicated, right? I'm going to kind of go through it right now in terms of like when the records can actually be disclosed. But I want to start off by saying that in most cases, no, the records will not be able to be obtained. It's really going to depend upon the facts of your case, right? Certain facts that have to be present in order for a judge to require you or your therapist to give up the records. So this is covered by what's called evidence code, right? The Florida evidence code, specifically 90.503. It's called the psychotherapist patient privilege. Sort of operates like the attorney-client privilege, right? In that, it protects communications that you make with your therapist, right? Or your psychologist. And the statute actually defines who a psychotherapist is. And, there are many different, I would say, roles, right? People, professionals that really fall under this category. For instance, the statute says, anyone authorized to practice medicine in any state or nation who's engaged in the diagnosis or treatment of a mental or emotional condition, including alcoholism and or drug addiction. In the definition is a person licensed as a certified or clinical social worker, a marriage or family therapist, mental health counselor, under the laws of this state. So the umbrella of who's considered a psychotherapist and covered by this privilege is pretty wide. When you're in, though, a family law case and a divorce case or maybe a paternity case, a party's mental health is sometimes at issue, right? And if there are issues with someone's mental health, that could affect their ability to parent. And parties going through these divorce cases sometimes think, hey, I need to see their records. I need to see whether or not they're a competent parent. They might think that the other person has, significant mental health issues. And sometimes that's the case, right? And judges really agree with it and we're able to get the records. But I would say that's few and far in between. It's not something that happens all of the time. And that's because, right, we have this privilege and there's this protection that the Florida law has to keep these records confidential. Now, when there's considered a calamitous event, right, the law talks about the exception really being, there's got to be, like in a divorce case, in a family law case, there has to be some sort of calamitous event that requires the court to break this privilege and say, hey, this isn't covered. We really need the records, right? Just saying, hey, my husband or my wife has mental health problems because they're constantly losing it, right? Losing control, right? Maybe they have anger problems, something like that. That's typically not enough. Again, the case law, right? The law says, talks about a calamitous event. And when people have, and like you might be wondering, well, what's considered a calamitous event? Well, in the cases that I've seen and in the law, right, the appellate law that have gone, the cases that have gone to appeal, right, the appellate judges describe a calamitous event as someone possibly attempting suicide, right? Or voluntarily committing themselves to a mental health institution, right? There are a couple of cases that I'm actually looking at right now where the appellate lawyers or the appellate judges said that was enough when the person here voluntarily committed themselves or made threatening remarks to harm themselves, right? So that has been considered a calamitous event. Right now, it's always going to be fact specific as to whether or not your situation arises to a calamitous event, but that's some guidance, right? Something major has to happen. I can tell you that the workaround to this, right? If the judge says, no, you know, a calamitous event has not happened, the workaround is, well, you know, if you're concerned that your, you know, husband or wife has major mental health issues, the workaround is to ask the court to conduct or to order a psychological evaluation on the person. Now, there are requirements that you have to prove before you're able to get that. Many people are not going to agree to voluntarily submit to a psychological evaluation. And I had a case actually where that was the case, where the husband in the case, you know, just he agreed to submit to the evaluation. But most times people aren't going to submit to the evaluation voluntarily. And that's when you have to get a judge involved, and the judge, you know, hears the evidence. And again, there are criteria that has to be met before that happens. And I won't go into that right now because that's a little bit off topic of what we're talking about today. But yeah, essentially that's the workaround, to do an independent psychological evaluation, right? Rather than piercing this psychotherapist privilege, patient privilege. And just to give you an idea of like why we have this, you know, I'm not a mental health professional myself, right? Didn't take part in writing this law, but my basic understanding of this area is, well, you know, you want to encourage people to be open and honest with their mental health professionals, right? And if we didn't have this protection, people might be a little weary about disclosing and sharing certain information with their therapists or mental health professionals. So we keep this protection, sort of like the attorney-client privilege, right? You know, whatever someone tells me generally, right? Unless, you know, someone's going to get injured, right? You know, or they're going to use my advice to commit a crime, I can't say anything, right? It's protected. So it's the same type of theory and it's treated the same way when you're dealing with a psychotherapist, right? So I'm sure that if you're the person listening to this and you're concerned that your husband or wife might be wanting to subpoena or request your mental health records from your, you know, treating therapist or psychologist, just know that there's a very, very strong protection that's built into the law that will most likely shield that request, but it's not bulletproof. There is an avenue given certain scenarios, like I just described, right? A calamitous event. If that has happened, then, you know, a judge can pierce that privilege and your records will be provided to the other side and the other attorney and the other party. But that's really the podcast today. I hope that you found this informative. Hope that you got some knowledge of it from it. And I hope that you given some comfort in that if you are in fact the one that's concerned that your records are going to be turned over, that you know you can get comfort in the fact that we do have this strong protection. So if you like this podcast, please give it a 5-star review. I'd greatly appreciate it. Wherever you're listening, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or something, you know, I greatly appreciate it. You know, I see feedback from people. I have had people in the audience, you know, I have had people contact me and express gratitude for the podcast. And I'm really happy that people are listening and finding value and had, you know, quite a few clients end up hiring me from this podcast. So it's great that I'm able to connect with you guys and give you guys this insight into the law. We're also starting a Facebook group, right, dedicated to just family law and divorce. We're at the beginning stages of that. So I'm going to put a link in the description. If you're interested in continuing, you know, starting a dialogue about family law and divorce, you know, feel free to join the Facebook group. We'd love to interact. We're going to have, we have other experts in the group, a forensic accountant to also participate in the discussion. So don't hesitate, join the group. We'd love to have you guys. I think it's going to be a good community, right? To get knowledge from and also to get support. So, and that's really important with divorce, I find. So yeah, guys, really appreciate you listening to the podcast. Stay tuned for more. I plan on having other interviews, right, of other professionals on the podcast mixed in with these, you know, regular podcasts. Now I'm rambling, but all right, guys, I really appreciate it. Take care. Catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Florida Divorce Podcast. To learn the 10 secrets behind every successful divorce, visit floridadivorcepodcast.com. If you'd like Scott's help in your divorce case, go to kjlawfla.com.